And now, like all her predecessors, Disney's latest princess is a beautiful young woman with an angelic voice, a puffy pastel ball gown, and in the end, of course, she finds her prince. But as you probably know, Princess Tiana is Disney's first African-American princess. The animated film, The Princess and the Frog, debuted in selected cities last week. It hits theaters nationwide this weekend. As part of our Talking Race series, we've asked Dawn Turner Trice, who writes the Exploring Race column for the Chicago Tribune, to talk about the film and about reaction to it. If you've seen The Princess and the Frog, what did you think? Does her race matter? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. And Dawn Turner Trice joins us now from Chicago Public Radio. Always good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much, Neil.
And what'd you think of the movie?
Well, I loved it. I went to a special screening on Saturday with my 14-year-old daughter, and we both loved it. I was shocked. I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it would be a damsel in distress Disney princess movie, and it absolutely wasn't. She's strong. She's beautiful. She's smart. She believes in working hard, and she's self-sufficient. And I thought that the message, and you know, you have to have a message with a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the message was solid, and it was it wasn't syrupy, and it was a good movie. It was a good message for the time.
And was her race significant?
The movie isn't about race. Her race is not a major factor. There are some racial overtones in the movie. For example, it's set in 1920s New Orleans, and you can't escape the race element there. Very early on, you see the two distinct worlds that are black and white. Tiana spends time with her mother at her employer's home, and the mother is a seamstress. And on the way home, Tiana's looking outside the window of a trolley as the opulent white world dissolves into kind of the squalor of rundown shacks that's her neighborhood. But and so you see those two distinct worlds. But there's a closeness and a richness there in her community, and often people gather on the porches and commune over lavish meals. And she learns that you can recreate that sense of community in a restaurant, which is her her goal and her dream that's bequeathed to her from her father. So there are some racial, some of the language is cultural, and some of it is, it's not just racial, but it's kind of, it's part of the New Orleans culture, but it's all woven into the story so that it's not so so intrusive.
And it's interesting, this is not Disney's first non-white princess. Mulan, Jasmine, Pocahontas have been featured in previous animated films, yet a lot of people saying it's about time.
It's interesting. I've heard a lot of people, blacks, whites, Asians, say that it is about time. But you know what we have here is a character who will really, I think, stand on her own, and her skin color is just a part of who she is, and it doesn't make her who she is.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. We're talking about the new Disney movie with an African American princess. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Tiffany's on the line with us from Leavenworth in Kansas.
Hello. Yes, thank you. I just, you know, had a comment regarding, you know, it is about time, and it seems, you know, that, you know, in my opinion, Disney's kind of late, and I'm happy, you know, my daughter and I will go to see it once it's out, but it's refreshing and comforting to know that the next generation of, you know, young African-American girls to come up can actually see something that I didn't get to see, you know, and I think it'll be good for them. And I just...
One more barrier down.
Yeah, pretty much. One more, you know, better late than never. But it's definitely a good thing. And I mean, race isn't an issue, which is why I don't understand why there haven't been more, you know, different race princesses or characters, you know, in Disney or any other, you know, production company. But it's a good thing, and I'm glad.
All right. Well, have a good time at the movie, Tiffany. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, Neil, I think that when people say it's about time, they're giving Disney kind of this this weight, or it's like, well, there's a validation that's kind of implied there. And I don't know. I find that I understand why people say it's about time, and I appreciate it. But I find that a little disturbing in that, you know, until Disney puts it out there, it's not valid. Yeah.
It's also interesting in your piece in the Chicago Tribune, you wrote that this film has attracted a specific demographic.
Yes. Before I arrived at the theater, I had been talking to some people, colleagues, friends, and even readers, black women, middle-aged black women. I'd say black women maybe over 35 years old, and middle class. And these women were you could see the twinkle in their eyes when they were talking about going to see this movie. And it occurred to me that, some of the women weren't necessarily mothers. They were taking nieces and, planning to take nieces and maybe neighbor friends or something. But it occurred to me that there is that something that has carried over from maybe childhood back in a time when little black girls, it was almost the furthest things from our imagination to think in terms of being a princess or even a Disney princess.
Disneyfied princess, yeah.
Yes, yes. And so that this is welcomed to them, and it is historic, and it's a big deal. And I was even in the theater. I was sitting not far from a group of women who were they were as captivated by this movie as maybe the children who accompanied them.
Well, let's talk with Sadiqua. Sadiqua with us from Tallahassee.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I don't have any girls. I have little boys, and I am, like those women, I suppose, excited to see it. I'm in my 30s. And I don't think it's about I don't think that it's per se that if Disney doesn't validate it, it's not validated. But I think it's more about branding. We all know the branding that Disney do, and we all know the effects on the self-esteem that branding can do.
So I think
it's about time in that context.
And are you going to take a small child as cover?
I'm definitely looking for a little girl to take, and I would like to take black and white.
Uh-huh.
And my family, we aren't necessarily allowed, if you will, and it's common in the black community. You can't buy, like, I have a niece, and if you're going to buy her anything, it can't have a white face on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too strictly not about white people, it's about the branding aspect. Like, she sees that already on TV and everywhere else. And so we need black dolls, we need black princesses. And so I think it's about time in that aspect. But I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited that they put Carol's daughter with it to get the product, which is another, she's a sister. So I'm very excited about the whole concept of it.
Okay.
And you're talking about the merchandising. There's a lot. Of course, it's Disney, and so there is that line. There's a line of beauty products that will accompany and dolls and other and clothing that will accompany Princess Tiana, the brand.
Yep.
Sadiqua, have a good time.
Thank you. I will.
Go ahead.
You know, Neil, there's a generational difference here as well. And I do believe that younger kids, as I said, I went to the theater with my 14-year-old daughter. And I think that younger girls, and whether they're black or white, but specifically black girls, I'm not certain that they're really getting the same or feeling that same level of intensity of that this is such a historic event because, you know, they live in a world in which they've got two little princesses in the White House, in Malia and Sasha Obama. And how they view themselves, it's not perfect, but it's very different from the way that their mother, their parents viewed themselves coming up in terms of beauty and body image. So I think that while they appreciate Princess Tiana, she's kind of part of their existence these days. You know, it's like it's no biggie.
Now let's go next to Donna. Donna with us from Cincinnati.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am one of those middle-aged black women, and when I grew up, of course, you know, we didn't have a black Disney princess. Well, now I have a daughter who's 8 years old, and I intend to go and see the movie with her to make it sort of a girl's day out. But I think it's important on more than one level because, you know, when you have a daughter who doesn't really have a positive image in the doll selections that she has, and she has all the other Barbie dolls, the other Disney dolls,
mm-hmm.
And we have her collection, and I've decorated her room with them. And she has Jasmine, Princess Jasmine, but she doesn't have Tiana as of yet, and I obviously plan on adding that to her collection, but I think Disney did a great service to black women and girls by doing this because, you know, yes, we do have the Obama girls in the White House. However, they don't see them all the time. When they come home and they're in their room playing, they're not playing with those kids. So they go to schools, and my daughter goes to a predominantly white school. So she needs a positive image when she's playing with dolls and looking for toy options. So I just want to thank Disney for that.
All right, Donna. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Don, we just have a few seconds with you left, but I, the prince in the movie, well, for most of the movie, he's a frog, but he's green.
Yes.
But he is not
black.
They
both are, actually.
Yeah, they both are, yeah. But he is not black, and has that turned out to be important to people?
Well, it may be important to some. It has been important. Some people have commented about that. But I think what's really interesting, at least for me, was that Tiana had such a strong father figure, and he was such a huge presence in her life, like her first love. And I think for me, that kind of, it doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter anyway. But I think that it does kind of water down the whole notion that we don't know the race of the prince, but he's not African American, but I think that it's in keeping with the theme of this movie, in that race really kind of, it's not all that important. You don't know the race of the alligator or the firefly. They have a certain dialect, but maybe it's that that they're black. Maybe they're just of New Orleans. It's the accent there. So I kind of like the melding of that, the race issue.
Dawn Turner-Trice writes the Exploring Race column for the Chicago Tribune and appears on this program regularly. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
She joined us today from Chicago Public Radio, and you are listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News.